Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome one and all, my friends, to Trisha's True Crime Radio. Thank you for joining us tonight. We have a very, very interesting show. In just a bit, we'll be speaking with Mark Class from Class Kids. Of course, he's Polly's dad. And Class Kids in Sacramento this weekend, searching for Linnea Lomax. And there is some breaking news in that case as well. Later on, we're going to be talking to Dawn Drexel about her missing daughter, Brittany. Some very interesting developments on that. And also, we'll touch just a little bit on the Drew Peterson case. But let me tell you, it's a physical thing here. I need to keep my blood pressure down, and I also need to keep blood from spurting from my eyes. So we can't delve too deeply this week into the Peterson trial, or I will have a nervous and physical breakdown and explode on the air, and that's good for ratings. My ex would love to see me explode and vanish, but others need me, like my cats. That's pretty much it. So we will touch on the Peterson case, but it's so maddening that we're just going to have to wait until some good news comes along in that case before we really delve into it. But right now, you heard his wonderful chuckle. Mark Class is on the phone. How are you, Mark?
Well, I'm good, and I just want to get this up in front, that Drew Peterson is a complete pig and that Dawn Drexel is a friend of mine.
There you go. That is wonderful. I am glad to hear that. And Drew Peterson is a pig, and Dawn Drexel is a wonderful woman, and we're excited to have her on the show to talk about her case, and we hopefully will be able to help her. Now, Mark, Class Kids, the search team, has been in Sacramento all weekend looking for Linnea Lomax. Now, on June 26th, Linnea walked away from a mental health clinic in Sacramento, hasn't been seen since. Your search team, the search team, has found something this weekend just a little bit ago. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, sure, Trisha. I mean, it's been since the 26th of June, and she walked away, and they've had absolutely nothing verifiable to hang a hat on in this case. And finally, they've been pursuing a lot of different leads. They've been pursuing a lot of potential trafficking leads, and we've thought that they should be moving in different directions as well. They finally contacted us. They invited us up to assist with the search. We flew our search director, Brad Dennis, and one of our other ACE team members in from Pensacola last week, and they've been up here ever since facilitating this effort. And this morning they actually found Linnea's notebook that she had been carrying the day that she disappeared, and it appeared to have been thrown into some bushes near the American River, about two blocks away from the location that she was last seen at the health facility.
How far from a road is that location where her notebook was found, from an actual road?
Yeah, it's right off the road. It's steps off of the road. It's really not far at all.
Mm-hmm. So,
but it appears, because she's right-handed, it appears that she was walking a path off of the road towards the river, and she then tossed the notebook into the bushes as she was making that walk.
Does the notebook reveal anything about her thoughts that you know of, or have you not gotten that far yet?
No, we called the authorities immediately and turned evidence over to them, as we always do in any kind of a situation, and they then are the ones that are going to comb through that and make any analysis of what's revealed by the notebook itself.
What does that tell you? You've been doing this a long, long time, and I'm not saying that you know exactly what happened, but do you have a feeling, or are you just kind of going to let them take it and go from there?
Well, it's tangible, isn't it? I mean, it's finally something that we can hang a hat on, and it tells us that, well, quite frankly, we don't even know that she's the one that threw the notebook, but we do know that it was her notebook. I think there's a very, very high probability that she is the one that threw it into the bushes. And as her father said, she is a young lady who has great respect for the environment. She wouldn't leave an apple core on a campsite for fear of what that might look like to the next camper that came along. So for somebody with that kind of an attitude towards nature and towards the environment to take something and just fling it into the bushes that is not biodegradable, and that, in fact, is related to her and the mental issues that she is currently facing, could have some broad implications. I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist, so I'm not going to be the guy that makes that analysis. But let's just say that It's not good.
Right, and that is a tragic tragic possible outcome. She was in a mental health facility. She had been depressed, and if I remember correctly, had she attempted suicide before?
Oh no. I don't believe so at all. No,
okay.
I don't believe so at all. I think that she was under an awful lot of pressure during her freshman finals at UC Davis, and that she had some kind of a breakdown as a result of the pressure she was feeling from that. That is as I understand it. I know that they were looking at depression. I know that they were looking at anxiety, but I don't believe that a diagnosis has been made as to exactly what was going on with her mental state.
Well, I'll tell you, Mark, in this day and age, it's not unusual for a young person to be under so much pressure that they feel like they're going to crack. It's becoming more and more prevalent, and I think that's very, very sad. And I know it must be just heartbreaking for the family. And you have spoken to the family. What are their thoughts right now? What have they told you?
Well, two things. First of all, I actually have a sister-in-law who's a professor at UC Davis, which is a school that she was going to, and she mentioned that to us, to Violet and I, a couple of weeks ago, that kids are under such intense pressure these days, and that it does get the better of more kids now than it used to in the past. So you're absolutely correct about that. But her dad's having a hard time wrapping his arms around this. He doesn't know what to think, and he is throwing out a lot of things. And I said, Craig, you just may be overanalyzing this. It might not be all of the terrible things that are foreboding by such an act. And we don't even know for sure that he's the one that tossed the notebook out there. So, he's having a hard time. Maya, his wife, I feel so badly for both of them, but she seems to be having a particularly difficult time right now dealing with what's going on. And I got to tell you, Tricia, you know what? You bring a search and rescue team in to a situation like this 7 weeks later, and it's not for good things.
No, of course
and,
not.
It's not for good things. And so this is an extremely difficult time. I think what she had said to Craig this morning was that, it's a nightmare, but everybody has nightmares about the possible things that could happen to their kids, but they get to wake up and go, oh, thank goodness it was only a dream. But in their case, it's much more than a dream. It's a reality that they've had to live with for 54 days now.
And that just seems like an eternity to them, I'm sure. Let me ask you, Mark, is there any possibility that this notebook was put there before she went in to the mental health facility? Like maybe she was taking a walk and flung it?
No, actually the answer to that is no, because as I understand it, that's one of the items that they have been keeping an eye out for, because it was one of the items that she had with her when she left the facility.
Okay, so that makes sense there. It is just so tragic. Is there something that we can, as Web Sleuth members, do? Just let us know. Please point the family, if you can, to Web Sleuth, because we certainly have...
Sure.
Many posts of love and of encouragement. And is there anything that we can do as a forum, Mark? Is there anything that you'd like us to do?
Well, we've already talked to them about Web Sleuths, and what a great resource Web Sleuths always is for the Class Kids Foundation. So here's what I can tell you. They are going to continue doing these ground searches, and they're going to continue doing them on Saturdays every other week, beginning on the 8th of September, not the 1st, because it is Memorial Day weekend, and it might be hard to get volunteers for that. Keep them in your thoughts and prayers. Continue to talk about this case on the forum. I mean, it's always good to have eyes and ears on the ground. It's always good to have opinions. We know that Web Sleuths offers great value. We're tying this in right with the Sierra Lamar search. We're encouraging the Lomax family to go down to the Sierra Search Center next week and see the operation we put together there with your assistance, as everybody knows. And, that you can sustain these things over a long period of time, and remind them that, we've been down searching for Sierra with thousands and thousands of volunteers for close to 5 months now. and we found nothing, and it took only 2.5 days before we found something significant from this search. So they very well may be ahead of the game.
Yeah, and I think that would be very good for the family to go down there, and they could have somebody like yourself to relate to who has been through this horrible nightmare that they cannot wake up from. Mark, tell us your website, the address. You do take donations. You are a 501(c)(3) charity, so it's all tax deductible. Your website is, what's the address?
It's classkids.org, K-L-A-A-S-K-I-D-S.org, and our sister website, classkidsespanol.org.
There you go. You have it in Spanish for those whose Spanish is their first language. Mark, thank you once again. You are wonderful, and what your organization does is absolutely fantastic. And give my love to Brad and to Violet, okay?
All right. You got it, sweetheart.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Mark Class from Class Kids down in Sacramento and searching for Linnea Lomax. And as you heard, they found her notebook, and it's, you know, you have to think about the parents, okay? She's in a mental health facility, so she's already having trouble. And again, bright woman in school, bright young lady in school under so much pressure. It scares me how much pressure young kids are under these days. Just going to high school is difficult. Junior high, it's all very stressful. They find the notebook, which is close to a river. I mean, is your heart breaking? Mine is. I can't imagine what they're going through. It must be an absolute living hell. Yes, Kimster.
Tricia, there's a question, and you may be able to answer this. I was going to try to grab Mark, and I apologize to those in the chat room for not getting him fast enough. But there was a notebook mentioned early on in the case. It was actually a journal for a patient journal that we've been told that law enforcement has. Is this, I assume, something different than that? Or
if law enforcement had it, well, here's what I do know. If law enforcement had it previously than today, then it's not the same thing. It could be the same thing if they're talking about something that law enforcement just talked about today having. That's maybe how they know that it wasn't put there earlier. It could be a notebook from the mental health facility. You know, Mark said that, you know, she was writing down her feelings, so it very well could be that notebook. It just depends on when the person is talking about when they heard about the notebook, because the notebook that was found today was just talked about today, just a few hours ago. So if the police had another notebook, like, say, a day or so ago, it's not this one. If it's a notebook that they're just talking about, it is the notebook from the mental health facility, and that would make sense that it was. Because then they could say, yes, definitely, that was the notebook she was carrying around because the mental health facility gave it to her. So, and I have a feeling that that notebook is going to reveal something very devastating for the family. I hope I'm wrong. You know, believe me, what I would give to be wrong. But also, the family needs to know what happened. And I hate to use the word closure because there really is never any closure. But it is somewhat of, I don't want to even use the word comfort. Just knowing what happened seems to help somewhat, because it's more stressful trying to figure out and letting your mind go wild if you don't know what happened. So I hope that.
And you know, go ahead.
No, you go.
Oh, you know, I've talked to some of the insiders on this case, and they are you're saying. They're the nicest people, and my heart goes out to them. I was so excited to hear Class Kids was going to go over there and help them. They have a lot of volunteers, a lot more volunteers than many cases do in the beginning, and they're blessed in that way. And I'm sure glad they found a tip. But they are, all of them have just been the nicest people, and they've all been thankful for the members of Web Sleuths who care about Linnea.
Exactly. And that's another thing I want to point out. We stress this every week, but I can't stress it enough. Even if there is not one single thing you can do other than a post that says, I'm thinking of you, that means so much. And they will come on here and they will tell you that over and over and over. So you do have the power to make a difference in somebody's life that is going through this horrible nightmare. And again, as Mark pointed out, look at Sierra Lamar, how many months they have been down there searching every weekend. I haven't found anything. If they have, they've kept it quiet. But, you know, they're out there and they're searching constantly. And I think it'll be good for Linnea's family to go down there and to be with them, because I'll tell you what, Sierra Lamar's family is absolutely amazing, wonderful people, loving people, so grateful for the help from their community. And I think it will be good for them. It will be good for Linnea's family to get this support system up and going, because unfortunately, it's a, as Mark has said many times, it's a club that nobody wants to belong to, but there's lots of people in this club, and that is terribly, terribly sad. Okay, Kimster, we're going to touch it. Just go ahead.
Oh, before you get started, I'm going to throw you a loop. Do you mind if I throw a wrench and everything here?
Throw a beach ball at my face? I don't care. Grenade,
well,
whatever.
Well, I know we have a couple of minutes before our next guest is in the green room, so I wanted to mention this to you, and I forgot to mention it to you before the show, so this is all new to you.
Okay.
But this week was the 9th birthday of Haley Cummings.
That's
did you know
right.
that?
You know what?
Yeah.
I had read that. Oh, can you believe it?
Yeah. And
oh,
her family...
goodness.
They planted a watermelon-colored crepe myrtle at Browning Pierce Elementary School, where Haley was attending when she disappeared, and a plaque is supposed to follow later, mm-hmm. and the families released 9 balloons. And this information came from our chat room from Geraniums. Thank you, Geraniums. And, it's really, really amazing that it's been that long ago.
It has been, and it's so tragic because, let's face it, and this is what I love about the radio show, because I can say things here that I can't say other places. Let's face it. Misty knows. Ron knows. I don't care what they say. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that Ron supposedly was, quote unquote, let out of prison. But apparently he was taken somewhere. And then if I remember correctly, he was brought back. So you have to wonder, was he taken somewhere to testify? Was he taken somewhere else to be interviewed? He wasn't taken out to get a haircut, I can tell you that right now. Something went down, and Ron has long been rumored, I don't know if it's true, but has been rumored to, you know, tell on other people. So that could be something along those lines. Who knows? But I do know that there are some people out there that think, and people that I respect, that think that Misty can't remember because she was in such a haze drug-wise. That could be true. But there are many cases where after the fog has lifted from the drug, some memories come floating back. So if that's the case, I hope Misty has the decency, which I doubt, but I hope she has the decency to come forward. I know Ron doesn't. Ron doesn't care. You know, I mean, oh, what a disgusting human being. Now I'm getting my blood pressure up here. I promised I wouldn't. And now it's going. I haven't even got to Drew Peterson yet. Oh, don't get me going on that guy. But, yes, Haley is the one that we want to remember. And we can remember that beautiful, smiling face, that gorgeous, angelic face. And I feel like that poor child never had a chance with Ronald and Misty. I mean, just crazy, crazy, sick people who should not have children in their care. So let's hope by her 10th birthday, we will know what happened to her, because she deserves that much, absolutely. Were there any more questions in the chat room before we get to our guest here in a little bit?
I think we're all caught up.
Okay, well, then we do have to move on to the blood pressure-raising topic of Drew Peterson. Now, here's the deal with Drew Peterson, okay? Why there hasn't been a mistrial, I don't know. Because, let's face it, the defense has had some pretty good reasons to bring up a mistrial. If the defense messes up one more time, I think there will be a mistrial. I really, really do.
The prosecution.
If the prosecution messes up one more time, there really will be a mistrial. I think there will be, and it just makes me crazy. Now, on Friday, the judge barred testimony from a man who at the 2010 hearing said that Stacey Peterson had told him days before she vanished that her husband came in late the night that Savio died and said, if anybody ever asks, I was home. So that cannot be put into evidence, which is very frustrating. But then again, you know, it's the law. And Drew Peterson has a right to be tried under our laws. And I can understand as a law looking as a judge ruling, I can understand why the judge made that ruling. As a human being who despises Drew Peterson, I wish to heaven almighty they'd let that in, but I can see why they can't, because actually it could be turned over on appeal. So we don't want to see that. But I'm telling you, Kim, and I'm telling you, everybody in the chat room and anybody who's listening to this later on, I think Drew Peterson is going to be found not guilty, and he is going to be beyond arrogant. He's going to be like, you remember in Ghostbusters, the big marshmallow monster who comes in stomping through the city? That's what his ego is going to be like. It's going to be out of control. But the good news is, we'll probably get him on Web Sleuth Radio, and so then we can, you know, tear into him there, and he'll probably love every minute of it. But, you know, he'll be such an egotist wanting to get on the air somewhere that, you know, we'll have him on here and we'll tear him apart, and we'll see what happens. Anyway, has our guest called in yet? Let's see. Not quite yet. We're almost there. Almost there. Hey, Kim, sir, I'll tell you what. Why don't you talk about the Web Sleuth Hot Cold case? Because this one is very, very interesting. It has some interesting little tidbits. Why don't you go ahead and talk about that? I know you're not ready, but I'm going to throw you a wrench right now.
Okay. This is the week for it, isn't it?
It is.
Well, it's interesting, Tricia. This week, after I created the thread on Web Sleuth for this case, which was like midnight Pacific Coast time, I was up really late last night, there was a lot of activity almost immediately, which was very unusual. So this is a really interesting case to many people. And it goes to show that when there's a verified insider waiting to answer questions, it also helps keep the conversation flowing, and it increases the chances of new clues popping up due to brainstorming. We have a very good and interested and active insider there to help us. Her name is Find Amy. So this week's cold case is about Amy Bradley. Amy was reported missing in the early morning hours of March 24, 1998. She was last seen by family members sitting on the balcony outside their cabin aboard the Rhapsody of the Seas cruise ship. The ship was en route to Curaçao, I think it is, at the time that Amy was last seen. The ship docked in Curaçao shortly after Amy was discovered missing. Extensive searches on the ship and at sea have produced no signs of Amy. There's a lot of discussion about Amy being alive, Tricia. Someone reported seeing Amy in 2005, and this information is on the FBI website, along with the composite sketches of two men she's reported to have been seen with in Barbados. Interesting, isn't it?
I hope she's alive. Oh.
Yeah, and actually, rather than using the picture that of her on the cruise ship, of course, they take lots of pictures on a cruise, so there's a lot of them about, you know, of her. We actually were asked to put the composite drawing of her in 2005 on the front of Web Sleuth. So in order to get involved in helping find Amy, please go to www.websleuth.com, and in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see the 2005 composite picture of Amy I was just talking about, along with the link to her thread. And if you're not a member of Web Sleuth, what do you do?
You join.
Today.
Yes, today. It's easy, it's free, and we're ready. We need you to join to help with this case, with Amy's case, and with so many other cases. Thank you so much, Kimster. We are ready to move on to Rochester, New York. Rochester, New York teen Dawn Drexel went missing in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina during spring break 2009. Raymond Moody is a person of interest. Now, Raymond is a scumbag. He kidnapped an 8-year-old girl, raped her, spent time in prison, and then was released. Why he was released, that's a whole other radio show. Guy's not going to change. Now, he lives close by where Brittany was last seen, hence his person of interest status. Brittany's mother, Dawn, thinks there might be another person of interest. That person, now, I'm not saying that he did anything, we don't know, but that person is one of the people Brittany last saw before she disappeared. His name is Peter Brozowitz. Now, Brittany and a group of friends went to Myrtle Beach for spring break. Even though her mother said no, she disobeyed her like so many teenagers do and went. And boy, we can feel that, because how many of our teenagers have absolutely done something that we've said they absolutely cannot do? Now, according to a Yahoo News story, Dr. Phil had Peter Brozowitz on his show to talk about the last time he saw Brittany. According to Peter, She walked over to his hotel room from her hotel room. She was staying with her friends, and she knew Peter from, Rochester. Everybody was from Rochester here. Walked over to his hotel room from her hotel room, and they had just begun watching a Red Sox baseball game when supposedly she got a call and began arguing with one of her friends that she went to Myrtle Beach with over overtaking a pair of shorts that belonged to her friend. Peter asked if she wanted him to drive her home, and she declined. Brozowicz said that the last time he saw her was when she left the hotel room a little bit after 8 p.m. Don Drexel, you're with us tonight, and I want to thank you so much for coming on our show. Thank you, Don.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, Don, pretty much what I have described so far, have I missed anything? Have I gotten anything wrong? Let's correct anything now before we go any further about Brittany's story.
Well, I mean, when you first came on, it was Brittany. You had said my name, but that's okay.
Oh, I did? I'm sorry.
Yes, no, that's okay. Yeah, that's pretty much what had happened. She got down there on Thursday morning, I believe, from mm-hmm. what I've been told. And they did go out to a club named Club Kryptonite that evening. And Brittany was brought up in the VIP lounge with all these kids. And they let her drink and whatnot.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Then the following day, I'm not sure what she did. I know from a few people that they said that she was playing volleyball out on the beach with some people. But we also know that those kids were treating her horrible the whole time she was down there. And, you know, she was only down there for half days, and then she goes missing. So the day that she went missing, I talked to her earlier that afternoon because I had been buying both of my girls. They were in soccer. Brittany's played since she was six. I went in and got their soccer cleats. We sent her a picture of it, and she mm-hmm. said she liked them. And then I ended up calling her, and she said, yeah, Mom, okay, you can get those. And then I asked her what she was, and then she's like, well, you know, we're at the beach, and here, sister, we have a lake. It's not a beach, but that's what they call the beach.
Mm-hmm.
It was 80 degrees that day. And, you know, I figured she was just down there, and she's like, I'm going to go to a friend's house and we're going to watch movies or whatever. And we had to go to a barbecue. So I told her, you know, when I get home tonight, you know, I will give you a call and see what you're doing. And, she proceeded. She's like, well, I'll see you tomorrow, Mom. I love you. And I said, okay, love you too. And we hung up the phone. Well, I got home with my other two children probably around, it had to be 9:30 or so, 9:30, quarter to 10 at night. And we were just sitting down. I was getting the kids, my younger son, we were getting him ready for bed. And we received a phone call from Brittany's boyfriend, who was here in Rochester. He couldn't go on this trip. And he said, you know, Marissa, can I speak to your mom? And she gave me the phone, and he had told me that Brittany was down in Myrtle Beach and they couldn't find her.
Ugh.
And I'm like, what do you mean you can't find her? He goes, they can't find her. He says, I've been trying to call her. She's not answering the phone. And I told her that if she didn't answer my text messages, that I was going to call you and tell you where she was.
Mm-hmm.
So he had left work. He had just gotten off of work. He came right to my house. We started calling all these kids down there. And I spoke with Peter quite a few times. Every time he'd give me a different story. And I didn't know how
wait,
to
wait,
get back, in touch
but,
with
Don, Marcus. Don, hold on one second. Who gave you a different story? We're talking about Peter?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're talking about Peter, the one that was on Dr. Phil, that was one of the people who saw Brittany last before she disappeared. Okay, I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. And I kept asking them why they wouldn't call the police and report her missing. And, you know, they just said, well, you know, she usually goes out, you know, and she don't come back for, you know, a while. And, you know, we're going to wait to see if she calls us. So...
Mm-hmm.
we kept in contact, and then I had called the girls that she had driven down with, and they wouldn't answer their phone. They wouldn't answer when I called, and I tried them quite a few times.
And let me interrupt you just a second. Let me interrupt you. These are the girls that were with Brittany who were treating her poorly that we're talking about, right?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I just want to make sure, because people are hearing this story for the first time, so I kind of have to keep keep updating them so they know what we're talking about. I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
No, that's okay. So, so then I knew one of her friends. He's a Marine. He was a Marine at that time, and he was stationed in North Carolina. And I had called him, and I'm like, you know, his name is John also, he kind of knew how these kids were, and he's like, you know, what's going on? And I had told him, and I said, can you please go down to Myrtle Beach and report her missing?
Mm-hmm.
And he went through his commander, everything, and he got clearance to leave the base to go to Myrtle Beach to report her missing. He didn't get down there probably until almost 5 o'clock in the morning. And he went to the hotel that Brittany was staying at, and at that point they went over to the hotel room. He ended up getting Brittany's bags. Both of Brittany's bags were packed. She had all her clothes in them, and he had called me and asked me. He said, "Listen, the police are here. You know, do you want me to just get her clothes and bring them to you?" And I said, "Yes." So they mm-hmm. gave him her clothes, and got down there. I didn't sleep that whole night, left about Sunday afternoon because I had to get my other kids taken care of and everything. So I left that afternoon, and we didn't get down there until Monday because we drove through the afternoon and the evening. And then when we got down there, I went right to the TV station
mm-hmm.
and got her on there figuring, you know, if I go ahead and get on there, maybe she'll see me and, you know, we can get her back. Well, that's when it was just the long haul. I mean, it was like a week, 2 weeks, and I was down there for a good 2.5 months passing mm-hmm. out flyers. We would get up, go out at 8 o'clock in the morning, not come back to the hotel until 9 o'clock at night.
Don, I want to take you, and I'm sorry to interrupt you. I need to just talk about a few things here before we run out of time. I want to mm-hmm. talk about the last time anyone saw your daughter, Brittany, okay? And that was on mm-hmm. a security camera. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Well, they saw her walking down to the hotel, but they saw her walking out of the Blue Water Resort.
Okay, and then tell us between, like, wasn't there, she was in one frame, and then the next time she was gone, down the next security camera. Where exactly did she disappear from?
Well, what we figured is she walked out of that hotel, she got up to the street, she didn't get past that parking lot. I don't believe she got past that parking lot of the Blue Water.
Mm-hmm. And so the next security camera, they see her, and then the next camera, she's not there. So that's a really good place.
She didn't cross back over that camera. That's correct.
That's a really good place to start. Tell me why you do not think that it's Raymond Moody. I mean, this guy is a scumbag. He is just the worst of the worst. But in your opinion, he didn't have anything to do with this. Can you tell me why?
I don't know. I just can't believe that. I mean, my daughter was only down there for two and a half days,
mm-hmm.
okay? I haven't felt that. Neither have I felt that Brittany was gone. I think this, you know, in my opinion, I think this was planned.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they brought her down there. They showcased her at this club, and I think that she was trafficked.
Okay, I'm gonna back up and let me tell me if this is correct the way I described it. She was taken to the club by this Peter person, Brozowicz, and
he was there,
and she went there with her girlfriends, right?
There was a whole bunch of people that went.
A whole
there
bunch
for
of
us.
People. They go to this
whole
club.
Bunch
she's
of people.
She's underage, and if you look at her picture. If you go to the family website, and let me get you that website right now. Hold on one second. That website is Where did it go? I just lost it. Helpfindbrittanydrexel.com, and that's BrittanyDrexel.com. If you look at Brittany, she's beautiful. Gorgeous. I mean, she looks like the all-American, blonde, wonderful girl. Okay, she goes to this club. It's underage drinking. And Dawn, you believe your daughter Brittany at that club was showcased, that there was somebody there that night that was looking at her, and the other people that were with her, we don't know who or what, might be saying, you know, look at this cute young thing. We can have her. Now, I know a lot of people don't like to believe in human trafficking, but let me tell you, it's real. It's not.
It's real, and it's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's real. It's everywhere.
It is. Yep. It is. And people kind of sometimes even roll their eyes. No, you know what? No, because it happens. And now this is just a theory, okay? And this is your feeling.
Correct, and it's my opinion. But I know how those kids were. One of the Peter was a club promoter. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, he was. There's many things, in my opinion, that this could have took place.
Now, Peter,
I won't elaborate on that, but.
Okay. I only want you to tell us what you feel comfortable telling us. We're talking with Dawn Drexel. Dawn's daughter, Brittany Drexel, has been missing since 2009 when she went down to Myrtle Beach for spring break. And Peter Brozowitz, the gentleman who was on Dr. Phil, when Dr. Phil showcased Brittany's disappearance, he's changed his story, hasn't he? Hasn't he told a couple of different things before about seeing Brittany, being with Brittany, or has he always had the same story?
Well, we know that he was with Brittany the whole day on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Right. Has his story always remained the same about where he went afterwards, what he did?
You
or
know
has
what?
Any... Go ahead.
As far as I've been told, yes, as far as I've been told, he has, I mean, you know, like everybody has said probably something similar, but, I mean, the way he acted on that show and his body language, in my mm-hmm. opinion, was horrible. And when she had first went missing, he's like, well, I'm not her babysitter. And he goes, my name's being dragged through, you know, through the mud and this, that, and the other thing, and... You know, and he, and I told him, I just got so mad because he's like, you know, well, my name, and I'm like, listen, I said, you're not missing, my daughter is.
There's a big difference between having, at least his name can be drugged through the mud because he's there. You know, have mm-hmm. a little compassion, for God's sakes. Now, what about the girls
right.
that Brittany went with? Did their story change at all?
That I don't know. I wasn't really told. I wasn't, you know, they didn't really brief me too much on that. As far as I know, stories were probably similar,
mm-hmm.
You know, in that sense. But none of those kids have ever talked to me. They
That's
never
odd.
Passed out. They wouldn't help out, pass out flyers. They never came to me. Their parents never came to me, nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Those kids came home, shut their mouths, and that was it.
And did they hire a lawyer?
Peter hired a lawyer, and he's one of the highest profile lawyers in Rochester.
Yeah, that's a little odd. So
he did when he got back home.
So none of these reported friends of Brittany's, came to you and said, Dawn, I am so sorry. I'll help you with Brittany. Nothing. Now, that to me is very telling. That's frightening. I mean, if my daughter went with somebody and their friend went missing, by God, they would be down there helping them search. You know,
that's weird. Well, you know, there was a couple of kids that were down there. They weren't specifically with that group, I don't believe. But a few of them came to the hotel room, and I was watching, the news on my laptop, and they were all sitting there with tears in their eyes, but there was only a couple of them, and then they said they would help John, Brittany's boyfriend, pass out flyers, and, you know, it never happened. I mean, they probably, you know, left or whatnot, but...
We're talking with Dawn Drexel. Her daughter, Brittany, went missing in 2009 at Myrtle Beach, and there's just a lot of strange things going on around this disappearance, one of them being the people that she went down to Myrtle Beach with have never contacted Dawn, have never offered to help, never said, we're sorry she went missing. They came back home to Rochester, New York, and clammed up, which I find to be very, very shocking and downright cruel, to be honest. Why does Peter think his name's being dragged through the mud? Because nobody's saying he did anything. We're just saying that this is odd behavior that he's doing. What's going on with that? Why is he so sensitive?
This happened at first. At first, that when if you ever watched the Dr. Phil show, mm-hmm. that show, I mean, he was just really upset because his name was out there, but he was the last person to see her.
Of course, it's going to be out there.
Right, and that's why he was so upset.
Mm-hmm.
Because he goes, well, you know, I wasn't the only one there, and everybody's singling me out, it's just weird to me when I eventually got home after being away from my other two children for 2.5 months looking for my daughter that was down there with these kids. And them being older than she is, Brittany didn't have a lot of money when she went down there.
Mm-hmm.
So they were probably helping her and stuff, but still to treat somebody like that and joke around on their way home, no. It just doesn't fly with me. There was stuff all over Facebook,
That's what I want to ask you. Let's stop right there, Dawn Drexel. What about Facebook? Tell us about Facebook. Let's start from there. What's going on with that?
Well, every time, and this happened right around when Brittany, after Brittany had went missing, people would tell me that they would go onto their pages. As soon as Brittany's name was mentioned, they'd be deleted. There was pictures of Brittany and all these the immediate people that she went down there with. And they took her name out and everything. And then one of them that I know here, and this is besides Facebook, we were at a restaurant that one of them happened to work at, and they said, well, I don't know Brittany Drexel. And I said, well, that's kind of funny. I said, I have pictures of you at my house.
Wow.
So,
oh, wow.
They have no disregard. I mean, they don't even care. They don't care.
That's just so wrong. So wrong on so mm-hmm. many levels. And it makes them look like they have something to hide. Let's be honest.
Brittany was going through a lot at that point. I mean, I was going through a divorce. She was having, some issues, stuff like that. And her state of mind, and they just treated her horrible. I mean,
and that's the time you need people to be nice to. Yeah, they need to be mm-hmm. nice to people when they're going through something like that. So here she is having a horrible time down there. And, and then she turns up missing, which is just, there's so many unanswered questions. Why won't those kids or their parents come and talk to you? Why did that one person deny that he knew Brittany? I mean, it's what? What is going on? I don't know how you stand it. I'd be losing my mind. You're just amazing. By the way, Mark Klass was on the show briefly before you, and he said that he is a good friend of yours, and I know he wanted me to pass along his heartfelt wishes to you as well. So,
his organization, Brad Dennis, I mean, they're wonderful.
Yeah, I agree.
I can't say enough with the organization. I mean, the organization, the Center for Missing Persons, this nonprofit organization, she has done so much, made me an advocate, made me, who I am now, and made mm-hmm. me strong so that I'm able to advocate for Brittany, keep her name out there, and try to get some answers. I mean, she has done multiple searches for Brittany in very, very dangerous areas. And
right.
And that's the people out there. A lot of people don't see that kind of thing, mm-hmm. and, it's like they do this on a volunteer basis, They don't get paid for what they do, but they'll go out and find their child or find whoever's missing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of money for her. I do a lot of fundraising because of what this organization does.
It is amazing.
She's like an angel. She is. And I wish a lot more people would, you know, get to organizations like that, only because, I mean, they do so much. And
they do.
And they don't have to get paid for anything that they do.
That's exactly right. They do it because they care. Care certainly more about strangers than Brittany's so-called friends cared about her. Don, I want to tell you about Web Sleuths. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Web Sleuths very much, but we do have a thread going on there about Brittany's case, and I would like to encourage everybody to go to websleuths.com/forums and then find the missing but not forgotten discussion, and you'll find Brittany Drexel's thread right there. Even if you could go and post just something to Don Drexel and her family that you are thinking of them, if there's anything you can do to help. Again, this is in Myrtle Beach. This is where we're looking. And Don, what can we do as a large group on Web Sleuths? What can we do to help you?
You know, I think it's just trying to get somebody to talk. I mean, there's a lot that has happened in Brittany's case that, you know, I really can't get into only for, you know.
Sure.
I got taken advantage of a lot of money, and, you know, I wanted to get a private investigator to see, and I had one, but the company ended up going under. And not the private investigator, but the person that was funding it, and he is the most wonderful investigator I've ever met. He does work with the Q Center for Missing Persons, and you know, that was one thing. I'm like, oh my God, you know, maybe we can get some answers. Private investigator can look into it, and you know, he's very highly qualified, and that was one thing that I wasn't able to do, and maybe could have had some answers by now. You know, there's just so much that I think it's still fresh. She's, you know, it's 3 years. She's out there. Let her come home. I mean, her 21st birthday is coming up in October.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Brittany had a lot going on for her. She really did. I mean, she was an avid soccer player. You know, she had, you know, her goals and inspirations. She wanted to be a nurse. She wanted to help people. She was just a great kid, and you know, someone took that away from us, and it just really sucks. I mean, you know, her brother and sister miss her dearly. Her brother is only 9 years old, so he was only about, well, he's turning 9 this week, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Brittany was always there for their birthdays, and, I mean, she took care of them when they were born, and it's very hard on them. Camden don't remember a lot, but we talk about her. He, you know, and he knows, and he saves up his pennies and stuff for, and he goes to them to give this to Monica to search for my sissy.
Aww.
And I mean, he's 8 years old, you know, and he saves up his money, and, you know, it, like,
oh, that's just heartbreaking.
Yeah, and it had Brittany's 2 year. He had won something, and he donated, or he said, go ahead and try to raffle this off for money for Monica. And, you know, it's very hard on the kids. And Brittany's younger sister, she's 15, and she misses her sister so much. It's horrible. She cries a lot. And, you know, but right now I have her, you know, I involve her in everything. Marissa knows everything that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
She, you know, I get her involved with the missing, and
that's good.
You know, she helps other families that I support, because right now in Rochester, through the Q Center, I've become a state outreach coordinator for the missing, and which I enjoy very, very much. You know, just to help other families, because they know what they're going through.
Yes.
And you know, I do get her involved in that, and I've been involved with a couple of, you know, cases here in the families, and, you know, nobody asked to be put in this, in this type of family, but let me tell you, people are wonderful, they know what you're going through, and, You know, and I just, you know, I really want to thank everybody that's out there worldwide for being so concerned about my daughter and you know, making them part of our family and praying for her and all that they've done, you know, because everybody looks for her. I get messages on my Facebook. We have people calling tips. All the tips are anonymous. Somebody could just, you know, call the Q Center or Myrtle Beach Police Department, you know, and give them an anonymous tip.
That would be wonderful. So, that would be the way to go. I'm going to give the address of your family website again. It's www.helpfindbrittany, and that's BRITTANEE Drexel, DREXEL.com. Helpfindbrittanydrexel.com. Don, thank you so much. I'm sorry we have to meet under these circumstances, but just know that myself, along with all the members of Web Sleuths and Forums for Justice, they are from all over the world, and we are here. You have my contact information. If there's anything you can that you think of that we can do for you, you let us know. Go to websleuths.com/forums. Go to the Missing But Not Forgotten discussion, and you'll find Brittany Drexel's thread there. Don, thank you so very, very much for coming on the show
so
this
welcome.
Week.
You are so welcome, and I will get in touch with you because I do want to speak with you about some things. So, yes, I will be
that would
getting
be wonderful.
In touch with you.
That
All right,
would be
thank
wonderful.
You so much.
Thank
I
you,
appreciate
Don.
It.
Take
You're
care.
Welcome.
Bye-bye. All right,
you too. Bye-bye.
Wow, Kimster, what an emotional story, wasn't it?
Yes, and that is actually just the tip of the iceberg. I could have actually asked her a million more questions, but be sure to go to her thread. Also, I just watched, did I mention this, but I watched the show, a rerun of it from the Discovered.
Yeah, tell us just a few other little things. Tell
yeah,
us a few other things.
Well, there were and Steely Dan, I see you're in the chat room, so correct me if I get any of this wrong, but there was also some cell phone pings that went south of Myrtle Beach, and that was one thing that I was kind of wondering about. I know she mentioned Peter. I thought that Peter was pretty suspicious in the beginning too, but the show kind of made you steer away from him. So, but I have not seen the Dr. Phil show. I'm going to see if I can't find that online. A lot of times you can find those shows on YouTube and watch them again. So what was I going to say? I've lost my train of thought. But yeah, there's a lot more information. The threads are great. And Steely Dan took some time this week to put some posts on there to catch everybody up to speed, too. So be sure to go to her thread on Web Sleuths, Brittany Drexel's thread, and see what Steely's got on there for us, because he did some great updating, too.
He did. Thank you, Steely Dan. You are amazing. He's our person behind the scenes helping Kim and I look good and sound good. So thank you, Steely Dan. You're the best. Kimster, what a show, huh?
Yeah, it was a jam-packed show. There's a lot of information going on in all those cases. They're all very active right now. I haven't seen a lot of posts in the Drew Peterson trial, and I have to wonder if it's because he's so disgusting that nobody wants to look at it. And also, is everybody scared that he's going to walk? Because I know I am, and I think the Casey Anthony trial, we're scared. And this guy... Honestly, if you put two of them in a room and said that I had to spend a day with one or the other, I would pick Casey Anthony.
I would too.
And Drew Peterson is like if you want to think of evil, I mean, oh my gosh, I would.
You know what?
I'd rather stay with. Yeah.
Well, I would pick Drew Peterson, but I would insist on a potato peeler and some lime and salt, and that's all I'm going to say. So I would pick Drew Peterson.
you're good.
Boy.
You're good.
I am good. Watch out for me, baby. Okay, Kimster, thank you. We're going to have another great show next week. Steely Dan, thank you for all your help. And to everybody out there, thank you so much. Check out websleuths.com or forumsforjustice.org. There's a lot going on in the JonBenet Ramsey case. The truth is finally out there, and it's going to continue to explode. You can read about that at both forums as well. It's Trisha's True Crime Radio, where we discuss true crime and current events, and we always do so with common sense. Good night, everybody. Bye-bye.